I don't even want to. I'm scared now to even. I feel like I'm pulling a real Dave here.
I thought you won that. I don't know.
You don't really win. You see, I feel like it's like we all got to win or none of us win.
It's like a co-op game right here.
Yeah, that's my improv vibe. It's like we all got to make each other look good. No one's going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, let's. Hey,
I
know, man.
I always thank you after every show for making me look so good.
Hi, everybody. We've been going to the mailbag and reading your requests, and most of you said you'd like to see David replaced on the show. So here's what we've done. We've replaced him today with Joanna Gaskell. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to being the new co-host of Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
Hi, Ian. I didn't know I was a new co-host. That's new to me.
Yeah. Now, here's the awkward part. Dave showed up anyway. He didn't get the message. So
my email was down.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. Because I don't know what's wrong with it. It's something to do with IMAP pop servers, something.
Right.
Does anyone know anything about?
Well, Dave's on GeoCities and Angel Fire. And, yes.
Oh, darn it. I can't think of what it was called now. The old web surfing thing you used to have to download in order
AOL?
To have.
AOL?
No, not AOL. You had to, like, go to the computer store and then get a floppy disk.
You had to go to the computer store to pick up your email.
To get
you actually go to the old
to get
corner
your
computer
disk.
Store and get, you pick up the email.
Because your computer didn't come preloaded with it, so you had to go in Netscape. And you had to go get
Netscape.
Your Netscape and put it on your computer
That's
so you had internet service.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember those times? You're
no,
younger than
I don't
us,
remember that at all. Well, I mean, I remember, early dial-up, horribly slow stuff. But Netscape, I remember Netscape.
Mm-hmm. There, see, I'm not alone.
Yeah. No?
Matt Classic 2, that's what I had.
Let me do a little proper intro here. You might know Joanna from, obviously, you'd know her from Standard Action, her web series.
You'd know her from that.
Maybe if you listen to our show, you'd hear the damn show that I plug every month.
What is that?
Critical Hit Show.
I've never heard you mention that show.
Right. Now, what character do you play on Standard Action?
Edda. Edda the Elf Barbarian.
And who do you play on Critical Hit?
Edda the Elf Barbarian.
I think you're in a rut. I think you got a Tony Danza thing going on. Every character is the same.
Yeah, it could be a problem. Although Edda the Elf Barbarian in the Critical Hit Show is now a werewolf. So that's new.
That's true.
It's different.
So now the two characters started as the same character, and they have now diverged.
Yeah, we're thinking it's kind of like parallel universe sort of thing going on. Maybe. I mean, Standard Action, we've introduced some parallel universe stuff, jumping through planes. So maybe that's what this is. This is Edda in a different, different time stream.
Right, because the most recent episode of Standard Action I have seen, some people are now trapped in a horrible universe that looks a lot like ours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Normally there's a land of magic and woods and wizards and golems and, of course, elf barbarians and sword fights. It's exciting. And now they're trapped in the bland world of us.
Yeah, like Office Space. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed it was very Office Space.
Yeah.
You have a scene that is very, very Office Space.
Definitely have some references, for sure, to Office Space. And you should keep watching because, they go all sorts of other places, too.
Fantastic. So, okay, I'm just going with the reality because I'm in the Critical Hit Show. So I'm in what I assume is now Earth 2. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. Earth 2,
sure. We fought the Nazis at one point, and now we're getting on with our lives.
Right. Okay.
All right. That's cool. All right. I just
Nazi
wanna,
gorillas.
Yeah. I just want to see. Whenever I watch Standard Action, I wonder: am I canon? That's my my question. Is there any?
Are you William Conrad?
Every time we bring up canon, you have to bring up William Conrad.
He's canon.
He is in fact canon. Well, that's true. Eric Fell from our show, the Critical Hit Show, has now appeared on your show. Is he? Is there any crossover in there, or is he just a totally different dude?
Well, no, I'm guessing that, since we've got this sort of parallel universe thing set up, that the Eric Fell that shows up in Standard Action is the same but in a different timeline Eric Fell, or a different universe Eric Fell.
Do you think he's the same guy but made one decision that sent him on a different path, or he was just born a different way but with the same genetic structure?
Well, if we're
Answer me! You don't answer my message board questions. I have you here. Answer my minutia about your show. Why are the trees the same in all the kingdoms? How is that possible?
How come they pass the same stump three times during the season? That doesn't make any sense. How come I saw that stump on Stargate? Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that stump gets a lot of work.
It does.
Yeah.
We did Vancouver Fan Expo last week, and the stump had a lineup like nobody's business.
Oh, man. It was selling autographed pictures.
Yeah.
That was what was shocking. I was like, $30? No. I was going to go 15, but 30, no thanks.
How did it autograph its pictures?
It just came, it had a bunch of them beside it. And actually, it didn't, I could have just taken it when I think about it. It wasn't really doing very much.
It's weird. They got security, so you can't.
That's true.
And they did a Q&A, but he didn't answer any of the questions. Do you know why?
He was stumped.
Yep.
Hey,
how was his performance, Dave? Little wooden.
Little wooden. Yes. Yeah, I've heard he's a terrible grump, but his bark is worse than his bite. Is that?
You messed up a little bit.
I did. Sorry. It's a deep-rooted problem.
Oh, well played.
Wow.
Well, that's all the time we have.
And we're done.
Now, one of the reasons, of course, we would have you here anytime, but now is a very special time in a...
It's Christmas!
That's right. It's Christmas but in the spirit of giving, it's a special time in a producer's life where they get to go and ask people out there who like their work for money.
Oh, so it's actually Yom Kippur. That's what you're saying.
Is that what Yom Kippur is about? Producers asking.
We're not getting on board until we find out if that's anti-Semitic or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, a nickel in the hate crime jar. I'm sorry, everybody.
All right, but you've got a Kickstarter going on right now.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
First of all, how are you doing that when you're Canadian? Because I thought Canadians couldn't kickstart.
Well, yeah, that's true. Canadians can't.
It's CFL rules, not NFL rules, so you're not allowed.
Yeah, larger field. We actually teamed up with a company out of Washington State called Gamerati. They're a mysterious company, and they're running it for us. And since they're out of Washington, we can run a Kickstarter. We decided that was a pretty awesome idea because there seems to be a lot more visibility on Kickstarter and a lot more money there. So we were pretty happy to be there this time. Yeah.
It's also really nice. Go ahead, please, David.
So you've done this before.
David, show your own. Go ahead.
Make the show my own. David, have you done this before yourself? No, David, I haven't actually. Actually, I was going to ask.
Right.
Have you done this before? Have you done something like on Indiegogo or something? Okay.
Yeah, we did season two. We did season one completely self-funded. We didn't ask for any money on season one. And then season two, we ran an Indiegogo fundraiser. We did that, I guess, over a year ago now. And we raised $13,000 for our second season on Indiegogo. And now we're
running how they could afford the stump.
Third season. Yeah, he's very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now we're running for third season. So.
Great. Mm-hmm. I know the stump's never been on Supernatural. So no.
I bet the stump has been on Supernatural.
It must have been on Supernatural.
It started on X-Files.
Yeah.
Well, I think it started on Wojak.
It was in Wojak?
Yeah.
It was in Seeing Things.
Did Danger Bay.
Did Beachcombers.
It's actually the log you see at the beginning of Beachcombers rolling down.
Yeah.
That's the top part of the stump.
It's early
work.
Its role is the inward acne-scarred teenager on Degrassi Street.
I thought
brilliant.
Okay, I know what you really said, but what I heard first of all was his role was the N-word.
His role was... Thank you. So you have to put one in the hate crime jar.
I don't think I do.
Yes, you do.
All right.
I insist. Because I have one in there.
So now you want more money, so we don't want to say a lot of money has come in. But there has been some love that has come your way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is more love that is needed.
Well, yeah. Yeah, how we sort of set this up, the thing with Kickstarter that's different from Indiegogo, besides the anti-Canadian thing, is that in Indiegogo, whatever people give you, you get.
Mm-hmm.
In Kickstarter, you have to make a certain total or else you don't get any of it.
Yeah.
So we aimed our total, you know, at a point where we figured we'd be able to get it. So we aimed
$1 million.
$1 million. No, 12,000. We aimed at, and we've made that. So we are going to get the money, which is fantastic. But now, all the stretch goals that we hit will give us more episodes and more stuff we can give away.
A little bit denser. Now, what are some of the things that you're giving away? What are your premiums? What are your give-a-give-uses?
Perks?
You mean perks, that's what you call it.
Okay.
No, give-a-give-us.
Oh. Well, we don't have
I think the give-a-give-us is the actual word for it.
What are those things?
Well, we've got, we started out sort of with webcomics. We've got a webcomic coming out for Standard Action, so you can get a first edition of our Standard Action webcomic. It's coming out. You can get DVDs. You can get HD downloads of the season 3 before it comes out. You can be on the show. We had a couple walk-on roles that we, gave away.
Pizza delivery boy.
maybe. I don't know. We even had script writing. You can be an associate scriptwriter for one episode as well. We had that. And then as we've started hitting our stretch goals, people who've already given to us are now getting more. So we've got a new Pathfinder RPG module that we are giving away for the adventures of the team between season 1 and season 2. We've got a soundtrack for the show that we're giving away. We've got, there's a stretch goal that's coming up, which we haven't hit yet, which is basically commissioning me to write the Ed of the Barbarian feature film backstory.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. You're doing it, I think, what you call right. There's one, I'm not going to say who it is, but there's some comic book folks. One's a writer, one's an artist. And they've done the Kickstarter thing, and it was the old, just give us money so that we can do this. And it's like, okay, that's a little weird. And then we'll find a publisher. Oh, that also seems a little bit strange. And the gimme, give-a-givas were things like, I'll give you a call. If you pay $100, I'll give you a call. Mm-hmm. Cannot be longer than 5 minutes. You know, go fuck yourself, right? You know, can't be longer than 5 minutes. This is like, what? Well, you better be like, what? What are we going to talk about? That's an awkward conversation. And there was another one where the artist would cook them dinner. Who cares? For like $10,000 or something. It was like $10,000, and the artist will cook you a nice dinner, and the writer will be a butler for an evening. Like, what kind of weird fetish thing? What's that bullshit? Yeah. And you didn't, and through all of this, you would never get a copy of the book. You would not get a copy. Doesn't matter how much you do,
that's,
no book.
That's the worst one to me.
Yeah, that seems like the wrong way to go about it, really.
Yeah, completely missing the point of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's being kind of called right now the worst Kickstarter campaign since Kickstarter. Like, it's basically two guys that went, oh, people are giving money away. Here we go. And people called them on it, and they've since rejiggered it all. And, you know, you do get a book at this amount and this. But, yeah, it was just like, you don't get it. You don't get it at all.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, you're getting it right. Another good, if anyone out there is interested in Kickstartering, Keith Knight, who did a book called The K Chronicles, is a very good cartoonist. He also does one called Think, T-H, and then brackets, Inc. He did a Kickstarter campaign and then broke down what he did for his Kickstarter campaign. And it's really good advice for people starting off a Kickstarter campaign and going, what do people want at this level? What should you give them at this level? How many updates should you give? What should your presentation be? Like in your case, you've already got the first two series, so people can go, that's what you're doing. But in case it's something somewhat new, we'll put a link up.
Well, that was one of those things that it's really difficult for a lot of people go out there and see the money that's on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and they say, well, I've got an idea for this awesome show or whatever, and they have a video of like them talking into camera saying, this is what I want to do, this is my idea, give me money. And most of them don't make their money because it's really hard because there's so many out there, and if you don't have any proof that they can actually deliver on what they're promising, then oftentimes they're not going to, you know... People have other places to spend their money or other Kickstarters to give them to. And so for us, we had, two seasons out. So it was nice and easy for us to say, okay, well, you know, we've got, we've shown that we can do what we're saying that we're going to do. And we're going to give you stuff as well. So
It sounds like good stuff. Well, here's what it feels like is happening right now. It's the death of the middleman. It's the death of the gatekeeper. It's the death of the person who's going, I don't know if people will like this. It's you just going direct. First of all, you make something up yourself. You can't get. I don't think you can get away with just a concept. Just go, I've got this idea. It's Dorothy, but she's got a rocket pack, and everyone in Oz is rocket packs. Give me money. No dice. You got to actually shoot a couple episodes of Rocket Pack Oz before you get started, and then you go to the people. And so there's thing one. One, middleman goes away in that thing. And then I'm really liking things right now like Netflix, which doesn't do the silly TV thing of like, we're going to air one episode. Oh, no one was watching. Fuck it. It's gone. Get rid of it. No, it's dead. It's over. It's just like, we're going to give you a whole series. Here's all the episodes. Watch them when you want, and we'll see if you like them like that. That, again, to me, is like such a better system than what we have in place currently.
Yeah. Did you watch House of Cards? Oh, man.
I did watch House of Cards.
So good. I was a big fan.
Yeah, I wish it had wrapped up. That was the only thing. Yeah. After I've put in this much of a commitment, just like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Oh, what do you mean you don't know?
Well, there is a second season coming out, right?
Yeah, there's also go watch the British series, and you can also see what happened.
Yeah, there's a British one. Yeah.
And there's also the books, which go in a very different direction.
Really? There's books?
Very different direction.
Oh, I didn't even know there were books.
The opposite direction, let's just say. I'm not going to tell you anything that happens in the British series, but let's just say things occur that are very, very different.
From
the
books.
We can talk off mic. Hello, David. What's new by you?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying the conversation. I don't feel like I have to leap in except to make silly comments, so it's okay.
Well,
it
feels similar to what's happening with comics right now.
No, I said go on.
I will.
Okay.
Oh, you do go on. Dave's got the vapors. It's like web comics right now. You know, you have all these strips out there that would never make it through syndication or, you know, if you send them to a publisher, once again, no dice, but put them on the web. And it's just a direct line. Then you're something like Penny Arcade. Then it, you know, people like that. And it goes to this, and it builds to that. And then you got all these cons going around. And, you know, it's the death of the middleman. And his death could not have come soon enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
David, you're not a middleman, are you?
You are
in the middle of both of us right now.
I am in the middle of both of
you.
And I feel like you guys are trying to push me out. I'm taking it as the third wheel here.
David, the middle of the Oreo cookie is the most delicious part.
It gets eaten first.
Well, thank you. Thank you for those images of Oreo cookies. And, I was just going to say, I guess you're right in a way. But in another way, when you think...
That was the original title of this podcast, I guess you're right in a way.
I guess you're right in a way. But when you lose the filter, you do kind of lose the editing. Do you know? You lose that person, that extra person who's there to help. You know, there's lots of famous books that people love that would never have been as good as they are if there hadn't been an editor who helped the author, you know, kind of narrow down what they were writing to... You know, to the great book that we have now, you know, whether it's Catcher in the Rye or Catch 22 or whatever, those books were shaped, you know, through the hand of an editor. They just didn't come fully formed as they were.
Right. It seems to me then on that, it's like, who do you want to write for? Do you want to write for your editor, which in that case is what you're doing, or do you want to write for your audience? And like, admittedly, your first book, your second book, you're right. But I think by your third, fourth, you will be getting feedback from your audience if you listen properly and don't just read a message board and just go, they hate me, I quit, blam, bullet to your head, you know. But you will get what people are responding to, and you will, you know, be learning your craft as you go along. You know, I get the benefits. But I think like it's outweighed by, you know, the amount of books that just will never be seen because there just was not a place for them before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
It's such a different delivery system. It's hard to figure out what's good and, you know, what it's really great and it's really bad. There's lots of stuff. There's lots of great stuff and there's lots of schlock.
Yeah.
And everyone has to wade through it now. It's almost like we live in a world with, it's just, all vanity press. And, you know, there's a reason that vanity press never quite got the same, you know, props as, you know, real publishing. And I'm putting real publishing in air quotes.
Yeah, we saw that.
But the audience didn't see it, though. The audience only heard the real.
Yeah.
I like that you did it again for no reason.
The real.
And I'm still quoting. Once again.
Best good things come in fours, real publishing. You know, but there's a reason for that, and it's just that, you know, unfiltered, whatever, you know, just a sort of vomit of creativity can sometimes be just a sort of uncontrolled, you know, thing that someone's just poured out their heart or whatever, and it needs to have someone to act as the mediator between that artist and the audience.
Well, one of the problems that we're actually having in web series right now is the same thing, is that there's sort of, technology to create shows is so cheap right now. I mean, everybody can get a camera. Everybody's putting stuff up. The vast majority of it is crap. But there's some great stuff out there, too. But the problem is that, it's basically like a big brain dump by a creative society on the web. And nobody can find anything. It doesn't matter how good your stuff is. There isn't really a way. It's not curated.
Well,
I think that's the thing.
That's the problem, right? Someone said, you know, you should watch a web series. They're really great. Like, there's tons of good stuff out there. Then you go on and you type in web series.
Yeah.
And then you look at some and you go, oh, okay, well, I'll watch a couple of these. And you're like, what?
Well, if you do it through Google, God help you.
But you know what I'm saying.
But if you say go to, say, the AV Club, or you go to the Nerdist, or you go to Gawker, or you go to... There's various sites.
There are people who are trying to curate.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And you will find eventually a site that you trust, or multiple sites that you trust. And then you go,
but you say eventually, so you're really having to be interested in it.
For a couple of weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
That's a lot of time.
No, I'm exaggerating on a couple of weeks. I think, like, if you find... Here's the thing. You'll find, like, something that you like, and you'll see it on a site, and then you'll try that second thing because you like that first thing on the site. And then if, say, you like a third thing on that site, you'll go, maybe this site is for me. But you'll find a site that lines up with your personal tastes, and then that is what would be your, you know, your Sherpa.
It's true, but it's true in a way. But, okay, last year at Emerald City, there was a panel. And, Joanna, you were on the panel. It was a panel of web series. And I watched, you know, I watched the panel. I thought, oh, this looks interesting. So I watched the shows. Yours was really good, and the other ones were kind of bad.
Was this Emerald City? Okay, yeah, I remember.
And if I hadn't gone in the order that I had, it's possible I just would have given up almost right away. You know, that it just wasn't. I just thought, well, this is not for me. This is not my thing. So I'll go back
to the 18th century, which is different than being bad. You know, it's like all of those series that you're talking... No, I will say, because all of those series you're talking about, if you look at the amount of people probably that watch them, you know, would disagree. And they're not incorrect. Like, the people that watch them and enjoy them are not wrong. It's just, it's not hitting you. It's like a stand-up comedian that I think is a stinkeroo. You know, Larry the Cable Guy, I don't care for. I would go, that's some bad shit. Yeah. But obviously it's not, because there's a stadium full of people
Obviously it is. It doesn't matter how many people like something. Just because millions of people bought their albums doesn't mean the Eagles aren't shit. The Eagles are still shit. They just sold a lot of shit. Why can't you say that?
Dan Brown.
Because it's wrong is why.
Yeah, Dan Brown.
Because McDonald's hamburgers taste pretty good.
I like McDonald's hamburgers. I would defend those aesthetically.
Other people would take your Eagles stand on McDonald's burgers and say they're terrible. They're terrible tasting.
That's fine.
I mean, it's eye of the beholder. But like, let's take an example.
But you can be subjective. I don't see why we have to, like, roll over and say everything is good because some bunch of people like it. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's great. What's subjective? Okay. Let me go to this point.
Ian, I would agree with you, but then we would both be wrong.
Fair enough. So with standard action, okay, here's an example of it. Like, you got standard action. Where in Canada would you be able to see that if it was not for the web? You know?
No, totally.
Yeah, no, not at all. That's basically why we did it, because we're all working in professional TV and none of us can get work doing that stuff because it's awesome and nobody will put it on TV.
Well, here's an example of that. CBC TV just came out with its new season. Here's its new season.
Oh, great.
Hey, Dave, how'd you like last year? Because it's the fucking same season. They've come up with nothing. Now, this is a tax-funded system that is supposed to develop new shows. That's its mandate. And so it has come up with nothing new. It's the exact same thing. So you got all these creative people in Canada. What are you going to do?
I believe they created a show called Hockey Night in Canada. Hello?
And then they lost the theme song, and it's been terrible ever since. The show was 90% theme song.
The theme song.
It was not 90% the theme song. Whatever you guys say. That's all you remember.
And Peter Puck. But here's the thing with that. The gatekeepers in Canada, even the people that whose job is, they've gotten the job description, let some stuff through, introduce this to these nice people. They are going, nope, not at all. You couldn't get your stuff on CTV. You couldn't get it. I mean, you look at Picnic Face. No one could have done more than Picnic Face. Millions of views on the web, like tens of millions of views. Now we're going to put a TV show on the Comedy Network here. Comedy it's just called now. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, it's a comedy. And they give it, what, like 8 episodes and go, yeah, it's not working, we're done. You know, and if that doesn't have a chance, well, then it's all fucked. The whole system in Canada is completely fucked. And then you've got a situation here where you put it on the web and there's people that like it so much, they're taking money out of their pockets.
Yeah.
You know, and they're paying want more. That seems to me to be a much better system.
It's a great model. I'm just saying there are pros and cons. So I just...
Do you think the American television model in the past has worked?
I like it, but I'm an elitist snob. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but here's the thing. As an elitist, I'm going to appeal to your elitist snobbery. The gatekeepers in America, up until the point where we had millions and millions of cable channels, yeah. were like 3-4 channels.
Yeah.
And it was like ABC, and it was all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you those gatekeepers would not let anything through that wasn't Laverne and Shirley, that wasn't Love Boat, that mm-hmm. wasn't that. And you, as the elitist snob, had to turn to PBS and hope, oh dear Lord, it's not a pledge drive, so that I can actually watch something that yeah. I enjoy. So now, those gatekeepers were not serving you at all. But now, you know, those gatekeepers are gone. Mm-hmm. Is this not a better time for you, Sir Snobbington von Snooty Pants?
I suppose, but I'd have to, I mean, I would have to sit down.
Please put in your monocle before you answer the question.
Really? I suppose I would have to look, what I would have to do is look at what's being produced. Like, what are the shows that are being produced? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is...
On television or like, on the web?
The web. Like, I would want to see, like, I would look at, like, a broad, spectrum of the different genres that are being produced in web series. Like, how many comedies are there? How many action shows are there? How many dramas are there? How many fantasy shows are there? How many science fiction shows are there? Like, what are they giving that's different from what I could get watching Stargate on television? You know, just because there's 13 shows that are like Stargate as web series, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that.
But what you're not going to get with Stargate.
I'm not getting Stargate.
All right, but here's what you're not going to get with Stargate is mm-hmm. a personal vision. You're not going to get anyone's.
Okay, how about Babylon 5? Babylon 5, I'd say, was someone's personal vision.
Right, and that was rare as rare could be, mm-hmm. to the point where people have to bring it up now.
Yeah, as an argument.
Yeah. As an argument.
Are you saying
now?
Oh, you don't like my straw man I just directed? He has a rocket on his pack. Rocket on his pack. Oh, I can't even speak today. I don't even know what's wrong with me. On his back.
Well, when you're slamming all these web series, you seem to be very articulate.
Well, what I'm saying is I need an editor. I need a filter between me and the spoken word.
Well, I think probably in web series, I mean, it depends on, like, if you're talking about web series that actually get crowdsource funding or web mm-hmm. series that are produced, that's an entirely different thing. Right? Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of people who have, like, a couple $1,000s in their pocket. They go and buy a camera and they shoot some stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it turns out terribly and sometimes it turns out really great. And when they turn around and start asking people for money for what they're doing, that's kind of a different thing. I mean, it's sort of like people can vote with their dollar and yeah. say if it's worth producing or not worth producing. But before that point, yeah, I mean, the web is fantastic for that. But also, yeah, you do get lost for sure. I mean, there's a huge amount of stuff out there. But, I mean, maybe it's time for viewers to be curators. Maybe it's time for people to put in that extra time and be willing to put in the extra time and not just be fed what mm-hmm. the networks will feed you. Like, if you like sci-fi, how many choices do you really have when you stick to network TV? I mean, you got like maybe one or two. Right now, we don't have, I don't think we have any sci-fi being filmed in Vancouver. We usually have at least
Have we run out of Stargates?
Oh, yeah, there's no
Stargate.
We
were Stargate Atlantis.
Stargate Universe
there was Stargate
is gone.
Universe. Yeah. There was Stargate, sorry. No one remembers Stargate Infinity. I'm the only person who does, but that was, you don't know.
I was a huge Stargate fan. I don't know what that is.
Okay. I will give you a little of the theme song.
Okay.
They tour around the galaxy, Stargate, bump, bump, infinity. Okay.
Sounds like an action figure
They
commercial.
Drive around in an infinity SUV.
I need to explain this to Joanna for just a second,
okay.
David.
Okay, I'm going to sit back.
Sit back right. and do your heroine.
I'm going to sit back and hear a tale.
Okay.
A tale of a fateful trip that started at this tropic Stargate.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
after they've beaten the Ga'uld, in the future... a team gets lost on another world with an alien, and they have adventures, and it was animated.
Oh, animated. Oh, this no is wonder why I don't know.
And it was...
And it was a web series.
Sweet Lord of God awful.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
did it have any of the familiar voices in it?
I don't think it did. Oh. But I did like that it started with, well, they won. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's the end of that. Thanks for that. I guess everything worked out. And then these guys got lost. Okay, and then what? And they're trying to find their way home. Okay, we're doing that, are we? And there's some gates, and it goes on.
Yeah, right.
Some
gates. So this was after Atlantis and before Universe?
It was, yeah. Okay, I believe it was when the series was doing quite well, and then they spun it off into this animated series. But I'm not sure if it was done in Vancouver or not. But I will send you a link. But please continue with your anti-Stargate. No, you weren't at all. You were just saying there hasn't been anything since.
Yeah.
Well, we've got, here's what we got right now. We got Orphan Black, I think, is like the big Canada-British co-pro that they're pushing right now.
Okay. But it's not filmed here. I think it's filmed in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I know.
I didn't even know it was a Canadian.
That's why it looks lit properly.
The redo of...
Ooh.
He went there lighting-wise. Yeah, I remember when Doctor Who was being redone. Not the horrible movie they shot here. But when they redid it, I remember CBC was part of the funding for that for the first season.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
BBC just went, fuck you, because we got all the money in the world now.
Yeah.
So long, chumps.
TV license money.
Yeah. But now, here's the thing. Let me make this comparison. David and I came from the world of mini-comics. And we went to, let's say we went to APE, the Alternative Press.
Let's say we did.
Which we did.
Oh, we actually did. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was just making a
theoretical argument.
I thought it was a theoretical
argument.
That was how I met the folks from The Simpsons, and that's how I got work with The Simpsons, which worked out for me. I don't know why they were alternative, but apparently they were alternative back then. And
yeah. Well, I guess they were independent.
Okay. But they were about as mainstream as you got there. They were mainstream as you got.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like some independent places like Slave Labor. But then again, that was about as far as you went for that. And then the rest was all self-published mini comics.
Yeah.
And if you looked around that room, there was all people with their tables all set up, all their stapled Xerox mini comics.
Yeah.
And most of it was shit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you really looked at it, most of it was shit. But it wasn't hard.
Are you sure it wasn't shit, or this wasn't to your taste?
Well, there you go. That's a good point. I'm trying to play David in this scenario. I'm giving you an inch, and
I'm
you're
fine.
Beating me with this angry inch
with
head
the inch.
Big. But did you find it hard in that mini comics world to find the good mini comics? Because I sure as heck didn't. Because it took me like a second to look at a cover. I just went, that was the initial process was, oh yeah. And I can tell that from like the web too. If I'm scanning over, I can watch a couple of seconds of something and go, didn't give a fuck.
Okay.
The sound sounds terrible.
Okay.
You know, how'd you start it? Not very good. Boom. I'm gone. Moving on. And it's not really a trick. You can, if you're listening to a bunch of songs, I'm sure with the first couple of notes, you'll go pass or yes. You know, your first bite of food you get, you know, if you want to eat the rest of the meal. But especially,
I don't know, because some things are growers and the way you're approaching it, in that kind of quick, read, dismiss, is not really letting that.
But here's what happened with me. Like, I was one of many, many, many mini comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how I kind of got seen was, you know, I'd have my stuff. I'd maybe give one or two away free. I'd try to be somewhat personable and draw people to things. But then people that liked my stuff would put an ad for my stuff in the back, not a paid ad, but they just recommend my stuff in the back of their comic, and word of mouth would connect. And over time, my comic sold, you know, mediocre. But, you know, it would get in some of the major publications like the Comics Journal and what have you. Okay. So it works like that. And I think that same thing happens with the web. It's like if someone likes your stuff, you know, who's kind of well-known, maybe, let's say, Penny Arcade likes your stuff, they'll mention it on their, you know, site, and then that will draw people to you, and then you will recommend stuff that you like to other people, and it feels like not a million miles away from the system we kind of came up with.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly the way it works. Yeah.
Dave, explain why I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think you're wrong, but you...
Thank you.
You're
moving
saying
on.
That,
what's
I mean, what
your
you're talking about there...
Wharf?
I mean, what you're talking about there, though, is we were in a situation where, you know, you were in this kind of place where everything was kind of pushed together into... You know, so you could walk table to table.
It was a physical environment, not a
web environment. Yeah, we probably missed like tons of great mini comics. You know, because
we
weren't exposed to them. They were all East Coast people who didn't.
You're gonna miss no matter if you're like.
Well, that bothers me. Don't tell me that I missed really good stuff.
When it doesn't matter how much you read, you're gonna miss some of the greatest books in the universe.
No, I've read all the great books.
That's great.
Well, it's the same with web series, right? I mean, you will go to those places where people will be sharing around one type of web series, and then you'll realize 2 years later that there was an awesome show that was airing 3 years ago that you've never heard of. Like today, I discovered Voyage Trekkers. They had a first season that was in 2011. I didn't know anything about them. And I just watched their first episode of their second season. And it's really funny. And I discovered it. And it's random because, I mean, that stuff will be online forever.
Yeah.
So basically, I could easily discover something tomorrow that's been online for years. And I might never discover a lot of the good ones.
Mm-hmm. So I can find them on GeoCities is what you're telling me.
Yep.
With the big blue, powder blue screen with the yellow writing.
Get on web crawler and then enter. Don't use quotations because that will shut down your computer. You'll have to reboot.
It's a problem I have.
But there's always going to be. I mean, I can never argue against most stuff is dreck because, but some people.
Because the Eagles are out there.
The Eagles will rescue you no matter what.
No, I meant the band, the Eagles.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about the giant
eagle
from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that will rescue you from any situation, no matter what.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Deus Ex Eagle.
Yeah, Deus Ex Eaglist.
That was weird watching The Hobbit and then the eagles show up. It's just like, what are you doing?
I laughed when that happened.
But isn't it in the book?
I haven't read the book in a really long time. Yeah, to be honest, I should go back and check.
Because when Lord of the Rings came out, I actually reread the series because I thought, these movies are going to be so great that I will never want to read the books again. I'll just watch the movies. How wrong I was. But I thought at the time, this will be the last
books
time
are
I.
Still there.
Yeah, right. I thought, I'll never need to read these books because I'll have these movies to watch, which are much easier and shorter.
But, or in this case,
I didn't do that with The Hobbit.
It's just one book for The Hobbit, though.
Partly because I said I would never go see The Hobbit movie, although I said that on air on the show, and then that night we went and saw The Hobbit. So it made me the biggest hypocrite on earth, you know, as I was throwing my rocks around the glass house, and then I went outside because it was all broken. So I had to leave the glass house.
Oh, man. I went to see The Hobbit with, like, all of the bells and whistles. So I went and saw the high frame rate 3D.
What did you think of the high
frame
rate?
Terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What made it terrible?
It was incredibly alienating. Like,
Was it just flat? No, it was like
hyper real. It was like I could see every detail in every scene, and it kind of drove me nuts. Like, in the first 10 minutes, I actually thought that I would have to walk out. Like, I actually thought I would have to leave because I couldn't even, like, the very beginning of the movie, there's Bilbo sitting there writing or whatever, right? And the frame rate is so high and the picture is so clear that it's like he was wearing so much makeup and I could see it all.
Oh, wow.
All of it. And I hate 3D as well, so I should never go to anything in 3D ever again. It's really terrible. But
never see a movie again in your life.
Oh.
Great Gatsby is in fucking 3D.
No way. Yeah, but there's got to be the 2D option.
But isn't it like a pop version of...
It's kind of like a pop-up book, yes.
No, I meant like a pop version of like, Great Gatsby because it has all these rap
stars. It's all the
stars
pop.
And
yeah,
stuff
it's
like
every
that.
Aspect
everything,
of pop.
Yeah, everything popping. Yeah.
But, okay, back to Bilbo.
But then, yeah, and it was like I could observe the movie and know that that Martin Freeman was doing a really amazing job. Mm-hmm. Like, I could look at it as an actor and be like, man, your performance
is
on.
Really good.
Stellar.
It, yeah.
But I totally, it didn't affect me at all.
Really?
No, not at all. I was totally alienated. Then I came home, and a month later, I bought the DVD, put it on our TV, which is not all that big at home, watched it, and I nearly cried. Like, I loved it. It was beautiful. It was a great story. I really, really liked the way it was
done. So with the frame rate, does it, like, take away, like the sense of distance? Like, it doesn't fade? Like, there's no kind of, like... unfocused background or
it's sort of like everything's in focus so it's like and your eye doesn't work that way when you're looking at something in reality you're focusing on one thing so
that's
like the fight scenes every aspect of it was in focus all the time the blurs weren't really there in the movement and it lost that entire sense that Lord of the Rings had in its cinematography of that mystical dreamy nature it wasn't a special mystical wizardly world it was like everything was crystal clear and it just all that mystery got taken away and it didn't feel like you were
it must
being
be weird it must be like a postcard image that you're looking at or something
that's actually kind of a good analogy all the colors are really crisp everywhere and the screen is so massive and you're kind of trying to focus on everything at once and it's like
or even like
nauseating.
One of those what do they call the thing with the little viewmaster that would kind of sound like that too where it's just everything. But that's kind of impressive because it's just a single frame you're looking at, so your eye can kind of rest on that. It's not this barrage of images.
Yeah. And if you see a piece of art like that, then you like look around at all the different stuff in the picture, and you're like, ooh, isn't this fascinating? But when it's happening at like 45 frames a second, you're like, oh my God, totally overwhelmed.
Speaking of overwhelmed, I'm just going to tangent to, I saw a 4D movie recently.
Oh, really?
Did it smell funny?
I wish it was that.
Polyester? Is that what you saw?
No, I did not. Oh. I went to the aquarium because Pia, my wife, is now volunteering at the aquarium. And they have they say it's the only 4D projector system.
So during the film, a dolphin pops out of the screen and rapes you.
wish.
The fourth dimension is sexual.
It could have been. Let me explain how this works. We're going to have a second 4D soon in Canada Place. It's going to be like fly across Canada. Basically, oh, here's the rain. It misses you in the face.
Oh, that's kind of like the California Adventure.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So and here's the thing. They really get you. It's like a very short thing. It's like 15 minutes long. But you don't expect the business to start in the opening. Like they have a little, welcome to the aquarium. Before you got started, da-da-da. You know, we have this. And they show like a porpoise jumping in the water, and then you get splashed in the face. I'm like, fuck!
A guy with a bucket? Boom!
No, it's just a little squirter.
Seltzer water?
It is basically like that. It squirts you. Now, here's the problem. You're wearing 3D glasses, right? So now my glasses are useless, and you're constantly taking your glasses off to wipe them.
Now you know how I feel.
But you're afraid you're going to get it in the eyes again, because you never know when the squirter is going to go. So anytime like a whale's about to jump, you're like, son of a bitch, look, just watch it. Get those glasses clean back on. But they do a thing right off the top, which is so, it made everyone scream, which is like, all right, first of all, dolphin, they're like, oh, I get it. And the next thing you see is a sea urchin kind of rolling around. And you're like, oh, what's this about? But then something comes at your feet, like from behind, that just feels like a bristly broom, mm-hmm. just like brushes against the back of your feet. Mm-hmm. And everyone just goes, fucking wah. It's like, yeah, disturbing. But then you're like, I get it. There's two things that can happen to me here. Yeah. One, I'm going to get shot in the face or the back of the neck, which they do. They hit you in the back of the neck occasionally.
Was this produced by William Castle?
It was produced by the Marquis de Sade.
Okay.
But here's what you
do. Did you have to sign a release form in case you had a heart attack during the...
Well, they mentioned if you've got a heart problem or they say back problems.
They had a nurse there making you sign the form.
They have nurses. But they say if you've got back problems...
It does sound like a William Castle production.
Right. What if you have like dry clean only clothes?
Well, you're screwed. Forget it.
No polyesters at the...
What if you're a witch? You will die.
You're done.
Okay, but here was the one...
Dry clean only
here was
clothes?
The one that made me want to punch the damn thing. So they have one scene where it's like the mighty salmon who's, you know, will never expects the eagle. And so the eagle comes down and he's like, and they're doing slow-mo grabs with the eagle on the salmon. So you're like, oh, it's waiting for a squirt in the face. Mm-hmm. Oh, no dice. Oh, we're seeing it again. No, everything's fine. Third one. Nope. I think I'm going to be all right. Here comes the fourth one. And the eagle's claws come down and grab the... Okay. Now, through the back of the seat, the eagle's claws poke out and claw you. Like, it's not sharp, but it's someone in the back poking you in the back and running it down you. It's horrifying.
That's amazing.
It's like, imagine someone just like out of nowhere just poking you in the back really hard. Yeah. Fuck you, chair. I'm just mad. It's like the movie want to fight me.
The thing that it sounds like, though, is there's some poor guy kneeling under your chair with a whisk broom and a little poker, and he's having to like, at, you know, key moment, spray gun, poke you. You know, brush your legs with a thing and then poke you in the back. Man, is that what Pia's volunteering? She has to crawl under a seat?
Yep, that's her job. Who loved it, though? Kids. Kids went nuts for it.
Of course they did.
Because their parents were getting so upset, and the parents still had to sit and watch it because they couldn't get up. So the parents normally would just go, fuck this, but they can't. Their child's there, and they have to behave good in front of their child, even though they're screaming and someone's shooting water in their puss and poking them in the back.
That's great.
So the kids had a really great time. I, on the other hand, wanted to punch my chair. I was like, don't do that. But that could be coming soon.
Oh,
I know movie theaters, like with the Avengers, they had the, not the tingler seats, but they had the rumble seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where the vibrated.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, they have like the red seats in the theater that you have to pay extra for.
Extra. Like the only thing I liked about it was you could reserve them. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of reserving movie theater seats.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. But it's like, so we're not drinking soda anymore? Because if I am drinking soda and I've got it in my cup holder and I'm in a rumble seat, I could see a problem with this. Mm-hmm. Yep. Fill me to the top. Sody pop.
Yeah, that could be bad. When I was at Universal Studios, we went down to California with the girls when we were younger, and they had that movie, The Mummy. Mm-hmm. They had a ride, a roller coaster ride based on it. And there's one sequence where cockroaches invade the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And they did a similar thing where they had air blow little rubber strands out and it rubbed against your legs. And of course, you're wearing shorts because you're in California and it's summertime. Was it summertime? I was actually there Christmas. But anyway, I was warm. I was from Canada. It felt really warm there. Everyone else is wearing parkas and walking around with toques on.
They couldn't even tell if the rubber roughing things.
But yeah, they kind of blow it and they go against your leg. And it feels like, because you're watching, they have this sort of animated element to it. And so there's all these cockroaches, you know, coming towards you, whatever. And then these things, you know, it feels like your legs are all covered in cockroaches. It was kind of fun, actually. I kind of enjoyed that. But of course, you're on a roller coaster ride, so you're okay with
ride,
that.
Yeah.
You're okay with that.
Where else in California are you going to feel cockroaches? I mean, that's fantastic. Have you written the Bed Bugs and Beyond roller coaster? That's a good one.
I haven't
feeling
heard that.
Of itching and it's fantastic.
Yeah, the red track marks on your arms.
It sprays little dye on you, so you come out with red marks all over you.
Nice. And then you got to burn your clothes. Now here's a question I've got about The Mummy, since you brought up that movie. I don't know if I brought this up on the show before.
No, Ian, there was no daddy.
Wow. Anyway, hi.
Hi.
So, did you see the movie The Mummy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
and what are your initial feelings? Like when I say The Mummy, do you go, hey, good for them? Or what do you think of the movie The Mummy? Yeah, that's basically everyone. All right, here's my big problem with the movie The Mummy. So the guy is regenerating, and mm-hmm. he regenerates by grabbing body parts off of people, right? So he kills this guy, gets their hands. He kills this guy, gets his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final thing he gets is he tracks down this one guy and gets his eyeballs. The only guy who's wearing glasses in the whole damn movie, he gets that guy's eyeballs.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, and you're not wearing glasses afterwards. The mummy through the whole movie. No wonder he's not killing the guy. He can't see for shit. He's like blind.
He's got astigmatism.
His giant head of sand is going through the desert, just like aimlessly going, I see a blur, I think it's a plane, I don't know what this guy is. Oh, well, man. I wish I had a pair of sand glasses that I could put on and just know where I'm at. But that would even be better if you see the mummy and he's just wearing a pair of, like, hipster Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah, horn-rimmed glasses.
Big frame glasses, yeah.
Mummy nerd.
Hipster mummy.
I don't know why people are against that movie. It was kind of exciting.
I'm not against it at all. It was just kind of meh.
And then there was the second one, and then there was the Scorpion King, and then there was the spin-off Scorpion King, and then there was the prequel to the Scorpion King.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the Scorpion King was The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Where they kind of made him a hero, which is weird that he was a villain in the previous mm-hmm. one. And mm-hmm. then there was like, how'd Scorpion King get to be Scorpion King? No one cares. Mm. We got a movie for you. We don't want to see it. Here it is. No one gives a fuck. And here we go.
And then there was the animated series, the Mummy Infinity.
No, please no, right? No, that wasn't actually one, was it?
Yeah, they have to find their way back to the pyramid.
There is really no one that can like sell a movie that isn't great like Brendan Fraser, though. That guy fully commits. He just goes for it. He'll take the monkey bone mm-hmm. as far as it'll go. He'll go to your journey of the center of the earth more than once.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
He's kind of like young Harrison Ford in mm-hmm. that same sort of sense where it's like he's this action star who's kind of like he can sell a movie, but he's not ever thought of as like a great actor, but everybody enjoys watching him.
Yeah, so but like, he does like he'll do a Gods and Monsters. He'll do a Crash.
Yeah.
You know, and like when he has to show the chops, he's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no one ever goes like, Brendan Fraser's
in that movie.
He's just like, oh, no, he exists.
Yeah. He's all right. I'll see that.
He's like the raisinettes in the snack thing. You're glad it's there. You don't want to order it necessarily.
It's like a staple, really.
Yeah, if someone else has it, you'll have some, but you're not going to like order them.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
It's a good
when you're at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You're not going to order the raisinettes at the restaurant?
We did a show.
Raisinettes.
Yeah, you're not going to. Can I get
like
what's
a double
dessert?
Order of raisinettes?
A big bowl and some milk.
That's right. Listen, I know you've got cake on the menu, but could I get raisinettes?
Really hearkening for them.
We did a show, Joanna and I, about 2 weeks ago, and we had a celebrity guest star.
I know, I couldn't be there for that. I was kind of I was a little jealous.
Because Dave hates The Rocketeer.
What?
Don't get him started on The Rocketeer. Hates him. No, he doesn't hate The Rocketeer. No one hates The Rocketeer.
No,
but
we
had Billy Campbell.
It's a great comic book.
From The Rocketeer show up. Yeah, it was a great comic book. You're absolutely right. And somehow was like our guest star.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. I think Eric made that happen.
Yeah. Someone did.
Yeah.
But anyway,
he was actually kind of funny as well.
Yeah, he was very funny.
Yeah.
And he wore a scarf like nobody's business.
Yeah,
he wore a scarf like,
I saw some video of it.
Yeah.
Particularly cold in the theater or something?
No, it was particularly handsome.
Yeah,
like,
no, I think that was, he was trying to shield the world from the vast majority of his handsomeness.
Okay.
You know, it's difficult. That's dangerous, though.
He lives on a parallel world where 52 looks like that.
Yeah.
And I like that world, and
I like
that it's possible. It gave everyone something to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he's all right, that guy. And he was, like, super, super sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a real gentleman, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in our storyline, you guys had a quick relationship.
Yeah.
A song was sung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you now have his children.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So that's canon, William Conrad. That stuff is canon.
It's canon.
Yeah.
So you have to traipse around with children following after you now?
I had, there are two werewolf babies. But see, the thing is that werewolf babies, you know, they grow up real fast.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine they'll be hanging around, really. Gotta shove them out into the world and
that's right.
Get them to bite people on their own.
Yeah, he played a character called Max Falcon.
Yes.
Who was a combination treasure hunter businessman.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not sure what kind of business.
That's right. No. So these babies are part treasure hunter, mm-hmm. part businessman, part elf, part barbarian, part werewolf.
And part falcon, really.
Yeah, and falcon. Yeah. I'm assuming there actually is some falcon in there.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to have, like, as a contest on our in our show is draw what the babies will look like. Yeah. So you could have Rocket Wolf, you could have Business Elf, you could have, like, any combination that you want to throw together, and we'll see what happens. And hopefully we'll get some people dressing up as those things at the show.
Great.
That would be amazing.
So what you're saying, actually, is people should come out to see the Critical Hit Show when it is on in
May 15th is the next one.
May 15th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this supposed to be the last?
Here's the problem, buddy. Yes. Let me tell you something.
Here's
something
going on? Let me tell you.
They got a little something called Star Trek.
Oh, and it's opening the same
How
week?
Dark is My Darkness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into My Darkness? Is that what it's called?
It's got a Benedict Cumberbatch kind of thing happening. Apparently that's going to be popular and shit. So they're doing that then. So
because of Benedict Cumberbatch. Nothing to do with the Star Trek part of it.
You know
nothing
what?
To do with the huge built-in fan base that
it
comes along with Star Trek.
Hurt.
It's all the Benedict
Cumberbatch. It's all going to be Sherlock Holmes fans in their Deerstalker caps and cloaks with their cherry wood pipes.
Have you ever seen the show Sherlock?
You should if you haven't. It's
maybe.
Fantastic.
To be fair, he does have a Deerstalker cap briefly in the show.
Very briefly.
Very, very briefly. Yes. I will give you that.
Yeah. Is it a comedy sequence where he keeps changing hats? Should I wear this baseball hat? Mwah, mwah. Should I wear this Deerstalker cap?
Yes.
It's a fan moment.
Have you not watched the show?
I have watched the show.
Are you playing dumb?
Yes, it's my role on the show.
All right, we'll keep playing dumb for a second.
What?
Now, I want to get into this because I'm in this D&D show with you, but I never got into D&D when I was a youth. We've talked a little bit about this, Dave.
So, of course, to play D&D, you have to be dumb. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. D&D.
That's what one of the D's stands for, I think.
That's right. Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. Dungeons and Dummies.
Dave played one of the only games of D&D I ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And he set up a character sheet for me, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was the enemy. But,
nice.
So I've had to learn.
We didn't have the right chips.
It's interesting because, like, I've done two improv shows where I've had to learn a new nerdy skill. One was this, and one was Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And we did Star Trek at Theater Sports.
I had to learn magic.
Because I was not a Star Trek fan either. There we go. And now Star Trek is ruining my D&D show. It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
When I do the Mummy show in a couple of But I was going to ask you, what was the start of your nerdiness? What was the first thing that nerded you out, and where did it blossom towards that led you to dressing as an elf and producing your own fantasy comedy action web series?
Right. My first nerdity was definitely Star Trek, actually.
Original series?
No, TNG. Original series was a little early for me. Okay. I didn't.
I was going to go. If it was Voyager, we would just end.
Oh God,
now.
No! Yeah, I'd walk away. No. Enterprise. Oh God. No. TNG was. For
what
sure.
are you thinking? From the theme song onwards. What are you thinking?
I don't even know. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. This
the theme song
I
for Enterprise. How did it go?
Oh, it had words.
Oh really?
That was its big mistake.
Yeah, that was
Give
the thing
us
one.
Any chance, we'll take it.
That's pretty close.
Give us any rule. That was
completely.
That was pretty close. Yeah. Okay.
Remember your sit right back and hear a tale? It was not a million miles away from that. Yeah. Oh. And everyone, and it's weird because if you look at Enterprise, you go, everyone dressed in full outfits and was very business, very space business. And then it means that a couple of years later, everyone went, let's just go hot pants. Let's go, hey, ladies, tight skirts. Let's put your hair up. Let's sex it up. Everyone get real sexist for a couple of years. And then let's get really not sexist right after that for the rest of time. But for a brief period of time, really sexist and weird, and then not so much. But anyway, back to
sci-fi first for sure. Star Wars and Star Trek and that sort of thing. And then I started playing D&D about 7 years ago with D&D 3.5, for those of you who are listening who know the editions.
David does not.
Yeah,
a shoulder has been
either.
Shrugged.
Yeah, no.
Well, what years were you playing at? When did you start, Dave?
In the early 80s.
So that would be what edition?
Second edition? Advanced, maybe?
I've got a first edition right
the
here.
Books yeah. I, the books I we use were written by Gary Gygax.
Was it the one in the red box?
I don't think we got it. We didn't buy a box of them then. You just bought the books. You bought the Monster Manual and you bought the Dungeon Master's Guide, which I still have both of them at home.
Nice.
And, you know, with the Bill Willingham illustrations and...
It's probably advanced, or yeah.
Keep talking.
It was advanced. It was right. It was advanced Dungeons
and
Dragons.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And so you know, you had your gelatinous cubes and your kobolds and things like that. You know.
Oh yeah.
Which are great dungeon fillers because the kobolds, you get to throw millions of them.
Kobolds are amazing. They're like the best. Oh hey. Let me just hand me a box here. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian has just handed Joanne a box of Dungeons and Dragons. This is a very early.
Would you say that's
I'm gonna have to look through that.
First,
I don't know.
Would that be first?
I guess very close to the first.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. I mean, since as there's no...
I mean, it probably existed before, and then it was slowly formulated into what became the Dungeons and Dragons books. You know what I mean? Like, so people were playing the sort of loose version of it, and then...
Well, I mean, the very first edition of Dungeons and Dragons by TSR was kind of loose, really. I mean, there was sort of some basic rules, and most of it was just storytelling.
Yeah.
And then they went into Advanced D&D, and second edition was, like, seriously rules-heavy, really confusing. And then they went to third edition, which was very popular, actually. Mm-hmm. Third edition was pretty popular, okay. And it was very... You rolled a d20 for everything and skills and classes and that kind of thing. And then 3.5 came out of that. And then more recently we had fourth edition, which was an ridiculous oversimplification of the game, as far as I'm concerned.
Which you tend to mention most shows.
You know, it's
of our
subjective,
live shows.
I understand that.
It's subjective.
There are a lot of people who like fourth ed. Totally cool.
It's the Eagles
it's
of
not
D&D.
Up, yeah, it's not my thing. But yeah. And then we've got another one coming out. D&D Next, they're calling it. It's the fifth edition.
Now, have you tried that one yet?
I play tested it at PAX East. Yeah, and it was cool. It was like kind of a return to the original roots, so very much stripping away a lot of the overcomplications and making it very much about storytelling, which was really neat.
That's the part I liked. Was just I loved playing the characters. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, when my first character was a paladin. I've always liked the idea of the noble knight and everything. He was incredibly stupid, but he had great strength, you know.
You had to. And those back days, then, playing paladin.
Yeah, in those days, you just would, you know, you'd roll.
Dumb and
you'd
Dumber
just,
edition, right.
You'd create character sheet after character sheet so you could get, you know.
The one you wanted.
The one you wanted, then you'd check out the rest, you know.
Yeah.
And then I also played a monk, and I liked that character as well. Because it was a bit different in the sense it didn't have a lot of, there's not a lot of things to it. There's no magic. There's no. It's just kind of pure.
Yeah, paladin and monk, pretty
different. Simple. Yeah. But I enjoyed what I really enjoyed about the game was just the role playing, like the character playing and having setting up a world and stuff like that. And it was more fun to me playing outside of the dungeon and going to the inn and trying to trade and those parts of the game were much more enjoyable to me.
Yeah, me too, for sure. And it depends on your DM, really.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of times you'll end up with a really awesome DM who's really good at storytelling and really takes you through that stuff and makes it personal and works with your character's backstory.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while you'll get the DM who's just the hack and slash through the dungeon, which, you know, it's nice every once in a while.
You need it in the game. Yeah, you have to have a bit of that in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I played, I was really enjoyed it, but when I was young, I didn't have anyone to play with, so I actually, because I didn't know anyone yet who did it, so I played I took night classes. They had Dungeons and Dragons night classes at Surrey Community Center.
All right, this is a really dumb question. You mean N-I-G-H-T, right? When you say night classes?
Like
I'm sorry. I know someone in the SCA that actually took night school, and I thought for years he meant the other way, and then he went, no, I'm practicing to be a knight, and I had to take that seriously.
No.
Please continue.
My mom would have to drive me, you know, to this place, and then it was fun, though, because the person who did it was a real...
She just floated on a cloud of pride.
Oh, boy, my son wants to play pretending he's a knight with dice, a little lunch bag of dice, you know, because you needed all six of them or whatever it was, you know, 20-sided, 8-sided, 4-sided, 6-sided. You got really excited. What was great was that the guy who ran the class was a real puzzle fan.
Oh, and so nice. Almost so every riddles and stuff?
Yeah, there's tons of riddles or like complicated tricks where you had to like move something to get something else. And but he gave you time limits as well, so you couldn't spend a lot of time like thinking about it. It'd be like, you know, you only have this much time, and then it disappears. So you really had to think about them, and it was like a lot of fun. He was a really good dungeon master.
That's really cool.
So I really enjoyed those. And then later on, I met some people in high school who played.
Nice.
And and also played. There was a group that played at the community center in Wally, but they were like your arch nerd, like sociopaths, you know, that have trouble talking to other people. And so there's a lot of like one-upmanship of who could quote the most from Monty Python. And you know what I mean? Like it just had that kind of, you're just like, this is awful. And then they played some D&D, but they also played like a Star Trek kind of based role-playing game. And yeah, it was a bit too much for me. That really kind of almost made me quit.
Here's a question for me. This seems like an obvious thing. Mm-hmm. Did the Python guys ever come out with a role-playing game? Because it seems like, holy shit, that would be $1 million.
No, they didn't.
Wouldn't it? Like, if you had, like,
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you made your spam a lot.
Can we connect Douglas Adams to Monty Python, since he did write some Monty Python for the final season?
Sure, let's connect.
And I think he was more closely connected to role-playing and
although I don't think there was a...
Wasn't there ever a Hitchhiker's Guide?
Was there?
I think there might have been a Hitchhiker's Guide role-playing. I think...
Oh, maybe.
He did a few, because he did a Titanic one, didn't he? And he did a few other...
Well, Starship Titanic is what you're thinking,
okay,
right?
Okay, maybe.
Yeah. I used to collect the manuals. Like, I would collect the Ghostbusters RPG manual just to read all the specs. Yeah. Or the Watchmen one, I've got that, and you just read all the specs, and you could go along.
That's
and I'd never...
Good material in there.
There was one, an Ambush Bug one, which was, like, all just comedy and just making fun of everything.
Did you ever read Paranoia?
No, what's that?
It's a role-playing game, and it's sort of a futuristic sort of world where it's a 1984 Big Brother sort of thing, and it's comedy. It's and you have 9 clones of yourself, and your goal as part of your team is to basically be the last person left alive, like the last person left with a clone, but you can't let anybody else know that you're trying to destroy them. So it's like you have to play as a team because Big Brother is watching, and therefore everybody has to pretend like they're really friendly and stuff. It's actually really hilarious.
So is there like a sort of dungeon master in the game? Yeah. And he assigns you the role as the mole in the group then?
No, everybody's a mole.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So everybody is, and everybody has like a secret objective, and and everybody has a role within the group. Like there's one person has to be the happiness officer and has to make sure that everybody is happy all the time, because you have to be happy in this world. No one's allowed to be sad.
Yeah.
And to the point where you'll actually like you'll give drugs to people who aren't happy enough, and then the people who get the drugs have to play like they're drugged as well as happy. And it's bizarre and really funny.
Yeah, that sounds great. Really,
yeah.
Well, there's a series of like just switching the board games for a second. By the way, let's plug this. You do another. You do a webcast where you review board games. What is that called again?
It's a web series.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. Wait, it's a web series. What's the difference between a webcast and a web series?
Well, isn't a webcast like a talking head talking into camera? Like, I think it's like a lecture sort of thing.
Do you not in this talk into the camera?
I guess.
Well, I guess I stand not corrected.
I suppose.
Please continue.
Well, there's... Okay, fine. Anyway.
Roll for scolding. You got a 1.
There's a thing that we do where we review board games. Yes, it's called Starlit Citadel Reviews. Yeah, there's like 68 episodes out.
Holy
at this point.
Cow! I didn't know there were 68 damn games.
Do you review like old games, or do you review like new games that are coming out?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, we do new games that are coming out, and sometimes we even get to review games before they're out, which is very exciting.
So, what do you think of Apples to Apples?
No, we didn't review Apples to Apples, but I have played it. It's pretty fun.
It's fun. It's a good cabin.
Yeah. Game.
A lot of comedians play that game. Apparently,
a lot of who? What?
Comedians enjoy playing that game.
Okay. Yeah. It's a smart alecky game.
Yeah.
Well, there's a trend like in games that I've seen that I kind of like, which is where you have to all do stuff together. It's not like the winner. It's like you either all win.
Cooperative games. Yes.
Yeah, cooperative games, or you all die. Yeah.
Sounds a little communist.
Yeah. Have you played Cards Against Humanity?
You know what? I haven't, just because so many improvisers are doing it. I actually want to see the improv show first before I actually...
Well, it's like Apples to Apples, only dirty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard it's quite filthy. Like, so many comedy shows have sprung up now all around, like, North America based on that. There's ones that's, like, Nerds Against Humanity. Yeah. There's lots of, you know, Cards Against Humanity, like, improv shows as well.
Yeah, there's one in town, I think.
There is.
Yeah. So that's fun. It's really good
time.
And
it sells out every show. It's incredibly popular.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a good card game, so, yeah.
I'm surprised like more people have not to the point where like the Cards Against Humanity people they don't sponsor the show, but they what do you call it? They don't endorse it, but they go, good on you, here you go, and they've given them some cards.
That's
and they've given
endorsing,
them some,
I think, isn't it?
What? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
I got all fucked up with this webcast web thing. I don't even want to. I'm scared now to even. I feel like I'm pulling a real Dave here.
I thought you
won
that.
I don't know. You don't really win. You see, I feel like it's like we all got to win or none of us win.
It's like a co-op game right here.
Yeah, that's my improv vibe. It's like we all got to make each other look good. No one's going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, let's. Hey,
I know,
man.
I always thank you after every show for making me look so good. Like, what are some of the better games that you played or that you reviewed on the show? Like, what are some of the games that really stood out for you as, like...
Some of my most recent ones that we've reviewed that I really enjoyed, Eclipse is awesome. It's a sci-fi game where basically you're... everybody gets a, oh my God, the police.
Sorry, just everybody take a drink.
That's a rule on the show. Every time you hear a siren, take a drink. But please go ahead.
Eclipse. So it's a sci-fi game where you're exploring the universe and destroying each other, which is great. it's a bit of a longer one, though. That's like, you know.
So it's a board game.
4 or 5 hours. Yeah, it's a board game. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Another one that we played recently is Discworld. Do you ever read the Discworld novels?
The Terry Pratchett.
There's a Discworld board game that's absolutely fantastic. It's so funny, especially if you like the books. There was another one that I played recently that I liked called Survive Escape from Atlantis. it's really funny. It's like you're on an island and it's sinking, and so you fall into the water and everybody is controlling all the sharks and sea monsters, and so you're basically like eating each other and stuff. Yeah, it's really competitive and very terrible, so don't play with people that, you know, get angry. But but it's a good game.
It's a risk experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the biggest drag when you play with someone who's just like
just all grumpy. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that on a couple shows ago. We were talking about board games, and I brought up my risk experiences because that game has a huge emotional component to it that people get very upset if they're poor losers at all, or
that
poor winners
that
at all.
That and Monopoly, like, really makes people real just mad, like old school.
Monopoly just generally makes me angry. I don't like to think about Monopoly. It's a bad game.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know, another game, though, that is a good game and like that is Game of Thrones, the board game.
Okay.
Wow.
Fantastic game. Oh, my God. So much fun, but brutal.
And is it spoilery for the TV series?
No.
No? You're no. okay?
No.
All right.
No, it's all... I mean,
I'm scared to do anything Game of Thrones that is not, you know.
Well, I mean, if there's anything in it that's spoilery, you'd see it all in the first season.
Let me just get it over with. So, Rosebud was a sled, Ian.
Damn it. That's a huge one.
The Citizen Kane video game. You try to make that dinner table longer and longer as it goes along. It's like, I bought your newspaper. I'm losing my hair.
What you have to do is build ceilings over all this, everything that you... do in the game. Everything has to have a ceiling.
Sounds like fun.
And you start by losing the very first scene.
That's
you
got to
shake the pop-o-matic and just like break it. Then it all begins. Now, Citizen Kane, the game would actually be pretty good.
No.
All right.
I think you should design that.
We should.
I mean, yes, it would.
Listen, we're all going to go into...
Everybody wins.
We're all going into business together. We're doing that.
Paranoia. Someone's secretly trying to undermine this podcast. Who is it?
Stay happy.
Must agree with everyone. Web series are great.
When you were mentioning 1984 before, I've always wanted to see a production of 1984 done with the style of 1984 at the year. Now everyone's still dressed all that way.
Yeah, well, how come no one did that?
All that music is playing.
Why
it's
hasn't
just,
anybody done that? That sounds amazing.
It's completely,
Oh my God.
It has to be done.
Okay, guys. We're all in on this, right?
We're all in on this.
No one can hear this podcast.
This is this it. One goes we're erasing the end of the show.
We've got to be like Prince. We put it in the fucking vault. No one hears it. And I got to go break a guitar on the whatever that show was. It's one of the roots.
Jimmy Kimmel show?
Jimmy Kimmel show.
Oh, no, sorry. The Matt Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
The Dave Fallon show.
That's right.
The Max Falcon show.
Yeah, Dave Allen at large. I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to take that guy's finger, and I'm going to clone it.
You've entirely lost me. Entirely.
That's, don't worry about it.
I'm going to preserve it in a glass of alcohol and bring it back into...
Okay. I can't even start to explain where the fuck we're going with
this. Let's just pause for a second.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, we had a bit of a technical problem there. The show's missing a few minutes. I don't know what happened. I may have forgot to turn on the machine for a second.
Again.
Like last week. Yeah, like
Dave.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, we're gonna be wrapping up because we've got to go see Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm.
Dave, say you won't ever see Iron Man 3. Then we can go see Iron Man 3.
You know what movie I don't want to see?
What's that?
Iron Man 3.
Why's that?
Well, apparently it's written by Shane Black. Who did that terrible movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? I don't know if you saw that piece of garbage. Did anyone see that movie? Which is actually really great. I'm just being totally...
I got it. Okay. I get your irony.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wasn't sure. I thought you guys would look at me like, that movie was pretty good. What are you talking about, dude?
The important thing is to explain the joke as much as possible.
Everybody's happy.
Listen.
I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to upset anybody
out
there.
The reason the chicken is getting to the other side... Well, you see, you expect a twist, and yet you... he's wearing red suspenders to keep his pants...
Ian, quit secretly undermining me.
Ha ha ha. All right, let's not undermine. Now let's overmine, and let's do our plugs. David, right. Anything going on with you in the next little while?
Never mind.
What's going on with you?
What's going on with me?
Plug VanCab.
I think that we'll be going to a comic show in this month, yep. May 26th. We're doing a live broadcast of VanCab. And what I want to point out to people is, unlike our Fan Expo show, this is free. The admission is free to right. it.
And unlike that one, Dave will hit record the first night.
I was a little nervous last week. My hands were shaking too hard to... push the record button.
So you sat on them for the entire podcast.
I sat on them for the first 10 minutes of the show. Everyone wondered why that show was a little short? That's why. Yeah, unlike that show, this is free admission. So even if you don't care about comics, don't want to, you know, you just want to come and see the show, you can just come walk in and see it. It's at 3 o'clock on Sunday, May 26th.
Right.
And our guest will be Colin Upton. We'll be talking a little bit about process and then probably trailing off from there into all kinds of wonderful...
Oofty Magoofty.
Oofty Magoofty. That's right. That's the technical term for it in podcast world.
If you want to see me and Joanna performing live, May 15th at the Rio Theater, we're going to be doing the Critical Hit Show. Come see that. Every week on the Relevant Show on CBC Radio, you can also listen on podcast. Usually has a sketch or two of mine. Why not listen to that? Mm-hmm. And pick up a copy of The Simpsons and Futurama comic books. Why don't you?
And
now, normally our guests don't have anything to plug, but you do. So plug anything that you want.
Sure. Well, at the time of this recording, there are 2 weeks left on the Standard Action Season 3 Kickstarter. For sure.
We'll post a link. We'll have a link on the Facebook page and on the website.
Cool. If you headed to standardaction.com, you can watch the show, first season and second season, and then maybe help us out or spread
and
the
it's
word.
A very good show.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
And where can we watch your game review?
Game reviews.
Web buddies chit chat.
Web buddy talk to camera chit chat. It's called Starlet Citadel Reviews, and you could. You basically have to find the YouTube channel for Starlet Citadel. So go to YouTube and search for Starlet Citadel.
Okay, remember, Dave can't sort through all that. It
yeah,
drives
that's
him crazy.
That's a lot of...
Because a lot of stuff on the web isn't very good. And so Dave goes, none for me, thanks.
Yep.
I'm watching PBS. I got my tote bag. Yep. I'm ready to watch.
They have iClaudius. What's the hate about PBS?
What do you need except iClaudius?
Yeah.
All the time.
On a loop forever and ever. Well, thanks for coming by.
You're making me paranoid.
Thanks for coming by, Joanna. I hope you will come by again. I hope we have not hurt our friendship doing this.
I don't think so, but we'll see how I feel tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. The way things are going right now, the sun is almost blaring in your eyes.
It's getting painful.
So it's getting painful. You're starting to squint. Your eyes are starting to water. And that's the point where we normally end the show. Okay. Thanks for listening to Sneaky Dragon. We will... see you another time.
Yes.
What? Like you end the show so good.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Fuck yeah!
Point at me when you want me to go.
What?